This is a story about a pastor making his debut for his church at a Sunday service, and he decided to go in disguise as a homeless person. And when he arrived at the church doors, no one greeted him. So he took a pew in the middle of the church, and a few minutes afterwards, an usher came over to him and said, "We need you to move to the back." So, when it was time to start the service, one leader in the congregation got up and introduced the new pastor. The homeless man in the back of the church got up, started to walk down the main aisle of the church, and the people in the pews started looking at him with disgust and judgment, and they looked at each other with disbelief. So, from the pulpit, the new pastor, in disguise, took off his toboggan cap and started to straighten his hair a bit and addressed the congregation. "I was a stranger, and you gave me no welcome." Some people in the pews started to cry. Others hung their heads in shame. The pastor introduced himself to the flock and told them that they had just received his first sermon. He then instructed them to go home and reflect and pray about what they had experienced this morning. One of the great Catholic preachers and saints, nicknamed John Chrysostom, which the last name means golden mouth because every word that came out of it was precious. He gave a similar sermon by saying this, Catholic style, I might say. If you cannot find Christ in the beggar at the church door, you will not find him in the chalice. This refers to our core belief in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. He said, John chapter 6, "I am the bread of life." And the words of consecration that you and I know so well, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body." And also, "Take and drink. This is the chalice of my blood." Christ is indicating his real presence when he says, "Amen, I say to you, whenever whatever you did for the least brothers of mine, you did for me." This is very hard. And I say this because I am certainly no perfect example of seeing and honoring the presence of Christ in a person who is displeasing to my eyes and sometimes displeasing to my sense of smell. Yet, we keep trying and growing in this practice of charity throughout our lives. So today, as we celebrate the solemnity of Christ, the King of the universe, and hear this most challenging passage from Matthew chapter 25 about the king separating the sheep from the goats in the final judgment, the sheep going to eternal joy and the goats going to eternal punishment, it's not a story, in my estimation, to scare us as much as to wake us up, to see things differently with the eyes of Christ, much like the pastor did when he entered his new church in disguise. Jesus always preached about the kingdom of God, and he certainly is a king, but not so much a monarch who is political and over people, as much as he is a servant and a compassionate companion to all who call upon him. The kingdom of God is not a world without pain or mystery, but simply a world where we are connected and in communion with all people and all things. The kingdom of God is about union and communion, which means that it is also about mercy, forgiving one another so that community can be restored. It is about solidarity with those who are poor and on the margins of life. It is about patience and simplicity. In the kingdom of God, we know that we are all part of God's beloved community. I read this definition of the kingdom of God by an author, Lisa Sharon Harper. She said, "Evidence of the presence of the kingdom of God is thick wherever and whenever people stand on the promise of God that there is more to this world, more to this life than what we see. There is more than the getting over, getting by, or getting mine. There is a vision of a world where God cuts through the chaos, where God speaks and there is light. There is a vision where there is a protection and where love is binding every relationship together." Jesus did not come to impose Christendom like an imperial system. Whenever we have tried to do that in any time or place, the long-term results have been disastrous. But the gospel, as with God, flourishes in true freedom. And freedom is something that we must choose for ourselves. And it is also a kingdom that our Lord told us to pray for. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." And with God's grace, we will be given glimpses of the kingdom of God, which is already among us and still waiting to be fulfilled.